Seagham House is classified by the National Trust and listed on the Victorian Heritage Database. The Stag Hotel and cottages are part of the original premises, constructed around 1847 for Captain John Saunders. The Stag was one of the principal hotels in Port Fairy in the early days, but its licence was not renewed after 1873 because of an altercation on the premises that led to the death of Thomas McCracken. At the time of his death, Thomas McCracken was the manager of the Banner of Belfast newspaper. The owner of the newspaper was Dilman John Howes, the town's secretary and engineer. If you have already listened to the free ghost tour on our website, you will have learned about Howes' impact on the town. He built Tulara on the Princess Highway and was accused of embezzlement of council funds in both 1873 and 1877. The altercation between McCracken and Dr. Thomas Scott occurred because the newspaper was defending its owner against the embezzlement claims. The men were both drinking at the Stag on a Saturday night when an argument erupted over Howes' guilt or innocence. The two men shook hands and the situation seemed to have resolved itself, but the uneasy peace didn't last long. A few hours later, McCracken and Thomas went to the rear of the building to relieve themselves and the argument erupted again. By this stage, they were both extremely inebriated. Scott accused McCracken of being nothing more than a tool of Howes. McCracken warned Scott not to repeat his insult or he would strike him. Scott doubled down on his inflammatory comment and McCracken made good on his threat, striking Scott across the face. A struggle ensued and the two men lost their footing, tumbling headfirst down the bluestone kitchen stairs and landing on top of one another. McCracken and Scott were retrieved from the bottom of the stairs by the hotel patrons and another doctor was called to assess their injuries. Scott appeared to be worse off and had to be carried home in a state of unconsciousness. McCracken said he thought he was all right and was allowed to return home after his head was bandaged. Unfortunately, he died overnight on the floor of his bedroom. An autopsy revealed that McCracken had a large blood clot in the brain resulting from a hemorrhage and a large fracture reaching to the base of his skull. In those days, a fractured skull generally resulted in death as no medical treatment was available for the injury. McCracken's ghost is said to haunt Seagham House as a consequence of his tragic death. Peter Moore is a former resident of Seagham House and he and his brother both witnessed McCracken's ghost one evening when they were left alone to mind the family business. The following is an extract from Peter's interview. "We lived at Seagham House from 73. I'm not sure what year we got out, 79 or something. My brother Daryl and I were home one night. Our parents had gone away and we were looking after the place, which we did quite often. We'd locked up and I was in the ground floor office. Next minute, my brother came flying down the stairs and said, 'There's someone upstairs.' And I said, 'Well, there's no one in the house except for us.' We both went up the middle stairs and looked down the passageway that leads back towards Sackville Street and there was someone walking along the passageway. You could see the shadow of somebody, a man with a coat and a hat on. There was a shadow on the wall. The passageway gave access to some of the top floor rooms. It curved around in a U-shape to another set of stairs that led down to the front door in Sackville Street. That door has been blocked off now as far as I know, but it was open when we were there. I was in the ground floor office and my brother came running downstairs and we both saw it. I've never seen my brother move as quickly as he did that night. There was definitely no one else in the house because it was all locked up. I didn't know what to think at the time. I wasn't frightened because I enjoy that sort of thing, I suppose. We searched the passageway but couldn't find anything." There are many other people who have had ghostly encounters at Seagham House. The next story comes from Narelle Sharp, a resident of Port Fairy who worked at Seagham House as a cleaner. The following is an extract from Narelle's interview. "I reckon I was 17, so it was a long time ago. I was working at Seagham House, cleaning the rooms. There were three or four rooms at the top of the stairs on the right-hand side. I was cleaning the second last room and I could hear music. And I just thought someone was still in the end room, that they may have been checking out late. So when I finished the second last room, I went and knocked on the door. I couldn't hear the music then, so I thought, oh well, they're gone. but I hadn't seen them go past in the hallway. I used the master key to get in and I started to strip the bed and I was thinking, I can hear that music again. So I went back into the second last room, the one I was first in, and I was thinking, oh no, it's gone. No, hang on, I can hear it. I went over to the wall because it sounded like it was coming from the wall, right? I went over and I thought, no, it's coming through the wall. So I went back into the end room and listened on the other side of the wall, and the music was coming from inside the wall. I kid you not. I only changed the bed in that room and was out of there. I didn't vacuum all the other stuff. I thought, I'm not doing the vacuuming up here. So I went downstairs and told the owner that I could hear music coming from the wall. And he said, oh yes, there's a ghost up there, blah, 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 blah. And I thought he was having a shot at me because he thought I was silly. That he was sort of going along with it and making up a lie in the process. Oh yes, there's music up there. He told me about a ghost on that floor. Whether or not he'd seen it, I don't know. I wasn't paying much attention because I thought he was having a shot at me. During our research for the book, Narelle discovered that her niece, Tegan Prentice, had also had a ghostly encounter at Seacombe House. They come from the same family but had never discussed their experiences at Seacombe House, simply because they hadn't heard each other's stories before. Tegan's story involves her friend Courtney Smith. Courtney's interview about this ghostly encounter is included in the book and provides another view of their shared experience. This is how Tegan described events. It was maybe 95, 96, 97. It was in my early secondary school years. Mum was visiting my Uncle Raymond in Princes Street and I was a bit bored. And I knew that Courtney's mother, Donna, was standing in as manager at Seacombe House. The manager must have gone away on holiday and Donna was filling in, so the family was staying there. So I went across and Courtney and James, Courtney's father, weren't there. It was just Donna, Courtney's brother Kurt and I. And Kurt and I, in all our bravado, said, oh, we hear it's haunted upstairs. Can we go have a look? So Donna gave us the key. Kurt and I went upstairs and we opened the door to one of the rooms. I can't remember specifically, but I'm pretty sure it was the manager's daughter's room at the time. We opened the door and just stood in the doorway waiting for a ghost and nothing happened. But we could hear a TV or something on next door. So we went downstairs and said to Donna, oh, no ghost, but we could hear the TV next door. And the colour left her face and she said, there's no one staying upstairs. Look, here are all the keys. There is no one upstairs. And we were like, no, 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 we heard a TV. I think she thought we were having her on, but we genuinely stood in that doorway and thought, no, there's no ghost. We could just hear a TV or something. So that really freaked us out. When Courtney and James got back, we all went upstairs together and huddled in this line in the hallway. It was like a scary movie. It was night time, but the hall lights were on. We all stood there listening, and I don't know about them, but I could hear a full bar scene, like a Friday night. You know, we could hear an old saloon piano playing and the clinking of glasses and the roar of people talking over each other. It just sounded like there was a party going on, and the sound was sort of all around us. It was hard to kind of define. Is it downstairs? Is it upstairs? There is no upstairs. We were upstairs. And then it was like this sound came past us, all huddled in the hallway, and it went, And we just bolted. We bolted. We absolutely shit ourselves. The next day, Courtney came to school and she said, they're denying it. They're denying it. They said it never happened. We were teenagers, so we couldn't really follow up on it or anything like that. But I've never forgotten because it was just such a bizarre experience and it definitely happened. We were all there. It definitely happened. There are many more ghost stories from Seacombe House in our book. It truly is one of the most haunted properties in Port Fairy. If you stay in the old part of Seacombe House, watch out for room 7, the shared men's bathroom, and the rooms at the end of the hallway that Narelle described for us. The cottage nearest reception also has several stories attached to it. The restaurant at Seacombe House is also worth a visit if you love good food.